morning, everyone. The responsive reading and the memory verse and all of those verses are just as inspired as the verse that John received in the middle of the morning this morning. I remember one of my professors at school telling me that a thing to keep in mind when you speak is that the verses that people hear oftentimes are enough. You don't have to say a whole lot more than that. I have some things to say today, and there's actually quite a few things, but I just want you to know that we've already heard what God is saying to us very clearly through His Word. And if you forget anything that I said, remember His words. Remember the words that we heard from the Lord, because those are the most important things. Of course, I feel that God has put something on my heart as well, and those are His words as well. But if you listen to His Scripture and keep that in your heart, you're going to do just fine. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for this day and for this time together in fellowship in this church. I thank You, Father, for every single person who is sitting here today, for their lives and what they mean to You. I thank You, Father, that we all know each other in this church and that we can trust one another. We've been in this church together for many years. And oftentimes, Father, we don't get to spend time with one another because of the age differences that we have. But Lord, You have brought us together for Your own purposes, and You have taught us so much, and You have blessed us by being here together. We have so many nice people in our church, so many young people, where there are oftentimes churches where there are none. And You have given us a wealth of young people. You have also given us many dedicated adults who are friends, have known each other and gotten to know each other. I pray, Father, that You would remind us of that today, that we are friends and that we love each other. And oftentimes we have things that go on in our lives or the things that we do that cause us to forget that. And I just pray that You remind us of the friendship that we have through the name of Jesus. And I pray that the words of my mouth would be pleasing in Your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may have heard recently that there were two deaths that stand out among the many deaths that take place in our society. There were two people that committed suicide recently. One of them was a student at Rutgers, and he unfortunately was betrayed by his roommate, who used his private life as an excuse for his own perversion and fun. And it resulted, probably other problems were at hand, but it resulted probably because of the fact that he was betrayed in such a horrible way that his privacy was invaded and he was shown on the internet in a very private moment in his life. And he killed himself by jumping off the George Washington Bridge. This should not leave us to go on in our lives without thinking about that. Recently in J.P. Stevens, the school where my children attend, a young man committed suicide. He was someone that Johnny went to play basketball with. And he was a nice person and a very fun-loving person from what I understand. He went to college, and 2 weeks ago, he committed suicide. This should not allow us to go on in our lives without thinking about that life and those lives and our lives and what in the world is going on around us. We are all involved in some way. A life is a very, very important thing. We need to think hard about our own lives and why we are here, and also what God has for us to offer to this world that is so often lost and without any options that lead a person to commit suicide. The title of my sermon today was in no way, for those of us who know the song by Burt Bacharach, it was in no way meant as cliche. It wasn't meant to be cute, and it wasn't meant as a pop song reminder. What the world needs now is love, was a song that Burt Bacharach wrote back in the 60s, I think. It's a great song. And to tell you the truth, Burt Bacharach is exactly right. What the world needs now is love. And I think that we're going to find today the kind of love that Burt Bacharach is looking for can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. As many of you know, I go to school, I'm going to seminary, and one of the courses I'm taking right now is in the pastoral epistles. And the pastoral epistles, as you know, are the letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And I didn't know it was such a complicated thing. You know, you go into a course like that and you're expecting to learn a whole lot of different things, and then your mind is drawn to all of these conflicts and things that people were fighting about over these three letters. You know, and I really have to admit to you, I was very naive. I didn't know much about it until I got into this course. And then we started to study it. And for instance, in 1 Timothy, there's a whole lot of discussion in the world over one verse that says that women should be quiet. And, you know, and there's like all this writing about it. And then there's this other section that talks about the elders and the deacons in the church and how they should be, you know, how that should be set up and all these different structures in the church. And there's all this writing about it. And people are discussing, and the scholars are saying, he says this, but this is really what I think is going on here, and this is, you know, and they go back and forth, and you kind of go like, wow, I didn't know it was that complicated. And I saw this verse here that we have for today in 1 Timothy, and I thought, wow, it's strange. They don't really say very much about that one. They kind of mention it, you know, and they talk about it to some degree, but they seem to be more focused on women being quiet, and how important that is to teach people how, you know, that we have to be very sure of this, and this is why it happened, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, that's exactly what happens in life, isn't it? We get all caught up in government and how things should be run and how we should tell this person not to say anything, and this is the way it's supposed to be done, and I know, you know, you go back and forth, and it applies to all kinds of parts of your life. And we overlook what's important. And I saw this verse in 1 Timothy, and I was thinking about like it like that. It says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Now, just before that, there's another big part of this letter, and it is an important one. I mean, it was probably the reason that Paul was writing Timothy, because there were these false prophets or people that were leading people astray in the church in Ephesus. And he says in verse 3, as I urged you, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. And then he says this, the aim of our charge. So he's charging Timothy, and it is a command. I mean, he's pretty definite about this. He's saying, you need to take care of this. And Timothy was in a very tough position in this church, especially given his age. He seems to have been a person who was kind of timid about having to deal with those kind of things. And Paul was saying, you have to take care of this. But Paul says, however, the aim of our charge, the aim of this command is love. And I think that that's very important for us to remember. We like to tell each other what to do and how things should be done, but we forget about the love. And this is not just something that God has been putting on my heart. This is something that I'm seeing in the writing of people throughout the church here. So I think that we're all kind of coming from the same place, which is very reassuring. Okay? And then he talks about a few things here. And I have a few things I have to tell you. What I have to say to you today is tough for me to say. Okay? I don't want you to be scared. I would never do anything to hurt you, knowingly. But I have some things that we have to talk about, and these things came out of this whole time in prayer about this scripture this week, and they have to do with things that we face in our lives. And that's why I brought up those two kids that took their own lives. But just remember, love is the aim of our charge. Those are those words that Paul said. He didn't have to do that, did he? He could have just gone ahead and said, I'm a very important person, and this is our charge, and you better take care of this. But he said, the aim behind this, and what I'm talking about, is love. And it comes from these three things, right? So the first thing that he mentions, a pure heart. And a pure heart is one of the things that Jesus talked about in his Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see God. For they shall see God. And what happens when we're not of pure heart? We don't see God. We're focused on other stuff. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that one. Think about it. Read the scripture yourself. Okay? When we are pure of heart, we will be blessed. Why? Because we are able to see God. And he mentions a good conscience. Okay? If you look at another verse that comes after that, he says that these people, by swerving from these things, sincere faith, good conscience, and a pure heart, by swerving from these things, have wandered away into vain discussion. We swerve away from stuff like that, don't we? We swerve away from it. Yeah, I know that. I know I'm supposed to love somebody, but you know, I got this point to make and I'm going to make it. And you ever done that? You start to pull things away from what's important in the relationship, and you lose focus with your family, you lose focus with your friends, you lose focus with your teachers, because you're trying to swerve away from what is good. And let me tell you today that God is good. And his goodness is the most important thing that we have. If we don't have him, we have nothing. And so we must be of a good conscience. It says in chapter 4, I hate being old. It says in chapter 4 in verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. A seared conscience. And that's why all this stuff starts going. The way that I see this is that oftentimes let's not talk about anybody else, but we have seared consciences. And it gets us into trouble because we're not being honest with ourselves. We're rejecting a sense of doing what is right before God, and we're swerving away. We're swerving away from being on track and doing things that are good in God's sight. And it caused all this mess down there in Ephesus where Timothy was. Okay? God is good. We need to be seeing him if we are going to be good. We need to be seeing him clearly. We need to have good consciences. And I know everybody, no matter what age you are today, understands what I'm talking about. We all know what a conscience is. Think about that, okay? Sincere faith. The thing that I wrote down here was a belief founded in trust in God and acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God. Right? A sincere faith. You guys know what sincerity is, right? If I am going to love you sincerely, it means it's more than what one would normally think of. It expects more, right? And a faith that is built in sincerity is also of more worth before God. It isn't just something that you do because you guys are here today and you heard a sermon today and you say, okay, I'm going to do that. It's built on a relationship with Almighty God where He is speaking to you and He is saying, I created you, you are my son, you are my daughter, you belong to me, we are one, and everything that you do affects me and everything that I do affects you. We are in this together. In fact, that was one thing that someone in our church said to me time and again, John, we're in this all together. Are we in this whole thing together? So think about those three things and ponder those three things on your own. I've said enough. This is all I need to say about those three things. But remember that the aim in the charge of Paul here is love that comes from those things. So don't swerve from those things. You stay on track, and the result is love. And that's what the world needs now. I'd like to talk to you about two things, and this is the difficult part. When I think about the world today and love, I think about sex. What the world has to offer each one of us today is sex. And I can say that without any fear of the age of people here today, because, and I would much rather say that, actually, than have you hear the other side. As you do know, you hear it out there in school or wherever it is that you're going. It's important that you hear from someone like me at my age what the truth is. Because what I believe in is that Jesus Christ is love. And love is not about sex. Sex is something that is way down on the list in a Christian's life. Because sex between two people is reserved for marriage. It is reserved for marriage. It is reserved for a man and a woman. I told my kids, my wife, that yesterday I turned on the TV for a moment, and I was shocked to see two women kissing passionately on regular TV, on a program that anyone could watch, any age could turn on and watch. It was on any kind of, it was one of the main stations. And it wasn't the kind of relationship that brought purity into my mind or a sense of godliness or of peace. It was one quite the opposite. There was a song that I've always listened to by Bruce Springsteen, and it's a very provocative song. And what he says, something to this effect. He says, I was sitting there in my room and watching the TV, and there was this woman wiggling back and forth on the screen, and she didn't make me feel excited. She just made me feel mean. Let me tell you right now that the world around us is offering us meanness. It's offering us a feeling of feeling mean inside, and that's what results in violence. And sex that is outside of marriage is violence. It leads people to kill themselves. It leads people to hatred. It leads people to feelings that don't belong in a sexual relationship where there is purity. And let me tell you this, purity is something we need. It is not something that is out of out of fashion. It is not something that is undesirable. It is not something uncool. It's the coolest thing that you could possibly do because you're able to see God when you practice it. Purity is good because God is good. And the things that He has for us go deeper than just having sex. It affects your whole life and your being, and that's what we're talking about. We're all in this together. And when we seek things that are watching somebody else having sex on TV or in a film or anywhere else, then we are invading their privacy, and it was never intended for us to see that. It is for the marriage, for the wedding, for the marriage bed. It is for that situation. It is a private affair. It is not for us to view. It is not for us to be excited by. It is not for us to see. We are to see God. So have nothing to do with it. And you know what's going to happen? You are going to find purity in God. You are going to find God Himself. And when you find God, you will have the thing that gives us life, that gives us happiness, that gives us fulfillment in our lives, that none of these other things that are only for the moment and cause us to feel mean for a moment can do for us. Have nothing to do with it. We are to give glory through all things, and that includes through sex. When you start to think about this part of your life, you must think about this is not an act for you to own. This is not something for you to practice without God around. It belongs to Him. And oftentimes we think that our sexual lives and our private lives and our minds and the things that we think about are our own thing, but they're not a private thing. They belong to Him. And if you want to have purity, if you want to have a life that is going to be fulfilled, then you must give that to God. Nothing is separate from Him. Dedicate your life and the things that you desire to God, because He is to be glorified in all things. The second thing I want to talk to you about, and this is the last one, but it's important. The big word for today in the world is tolerance. If there was only any tolerance being practiced, then maybe there would have been hope for this young man. We need to tolerate other religions. We need to tolerate people of different skin colors. We need to tolerate everybody. But you see, this word has become a worldly word. It has become the politician's word that they're supposed to say so they're getting voted into office. It's a word that you're supposed to practice, and you're being taught that in the schools. You hear it at workplaces. You have to be tolerant of one another. But what I'd like to do is suggest it in this way today. What if we were to use that word here in our church? What if we were to say, brother, sister, let us tolerate each other. We have different opinions. We will simply learn to tolerate one another here, and then we will be fine. And what I would like to suggest is that tolerance is not enough. Tolerance is a means to get along so that we put up with one another. But where does it take us? What the Bible is teaching us today is far more important, and it's far reaching into our souls, and it touches upon that which is important to us. And Jesus Christ taught us not to tolerate one another. He taught us to love one another. And in this word love, as Jesus Christ preached this word, it means to sacrifice your own life for others. It demands, it costs us something. Being tolerant does not cost us anything. By being tolerant, we are joining everyone else. And they are accepting us and saying, good, now you're one of us. Now we can just get along. Love is saying, I care about your life, and I care what happens to you. And I know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died for my sins on the cross so that I could have life. And that is what I'm going to practice with you. I'm going to teach you about him. I'm going to tell you the gospel that is going to transform your life and cause you to think about God. And in return of that, I am willing to risk my own safety. I am willing to put my name in a place where I may be judged and I may be rejected. And if you start to think about your relationship to Jesus Christ in that way, then you're going to start understanding about what the Bible is talking to us about. The love of God causes us to think deeply about what our relationship is to God and what we're here for and where we're going. Jesus Christ and his love is built around the cross, a symbol of true love that is costly, sacrificial, and it results in life. It emphasizes the gospel, our belief in Jesus Christ as the only way to eternal life. And it causes us to do much more than just tolerate one another. It causes us in our church to say to one another, we have differences and we are going to come together and we are going to discuss those differences and we are going to forgive one another and we are going to love one another and we are going to bend ourselves around Jesus Christ and we are going to say, yes, Lord, whatever your will is, Lord, because you are the one who we can see when we are pure of heart, when we have good consciences, when we have a sincere faith. And that's what God is expecting of us in our church today. We are not simply to tolerate one another. We are to forgive one another. And that means putting aside all of our differences in the name of Jesus Christ and saying, I love you and I would die for you. My professor at school said to me that he had a deacon board behind him that he knew every single one of those guys on that board was ready to take a bullet for him. And that freed him and gave him a sense of security that he was grateful to God for. Do we have that here? Do we have that among all of these people here today, that you are ready to look at the person sitting next to you in the name of Jesus Christ and to say, I am ready to take a bullet because of this brother or this sister? We're living in a world that is wandering around and saying, I hope that they get those problems fixed someday. And just like the man who was left in the parable that Jesus told, who was left to die by so many passers-by, we pass by people that need our help, that need us to get involved in their lives and to truly show love to them. And so you see, this verse that Paul wrote has tremendous power in it because it talks about love that comes from Jesus Christ. And I think that God is calling us to look deeply within our own souls today at all ages, to consider ourselves and what is going on in the nasty stuff that we see on TV and all the films and all the talk that we see at school and say, who am I? And what good is this really doing me? Don't I want something better than that? And not only that, but am I going to stand up for Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love that is a deep and wonderful thing, and that your Son humbled himself on a cross for our sakes and died a terrible death so that we could live. I pray, Father, that you would convict our hearts today to know that there are people around us, perhaps even in this very room, who are hurting, who need a friend, who need someone to care about them. I pray, Father, that you would help us to lay aside our own selfishness and our own desires so that you would be glorified. I pray, Father, that you would help us to have a godly view of sex, that you would help us to dedicate our lives to your goodness, knowing that you are glorified through this. And I pray, Father, that you would help us in our church to be able to come to the point where we would be willing to die for one another, that we would not take for granted the opportunity that you have brought into our lives by being in this church. And I thank you for your forgiveness and for your great love and mercy. May your name be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.